Good morning. I'm here to share an Earth Day message with you on behalf of the Mother Earth community. Amidst the chaos of our country at this time, I hope this message will challenge you to take action on behalf of ourselves, future generations, and our dear Mother Earth. If you think back to the Genesis story, you may recall that we humans were not created until God had already done quite a bit of work earlier in the week, separating things and creating the earth with its seas and vegetation, sea creatures and birds on the fifth day, and then land animals and finally us from clay on the sixth day. On the seventh day, God rested. I chalk up our sometimes careless attitude toward Mother Earth to the fact that we weren't around to see all the effort God put in before we arrived. If we weren't there, how could we possibly believe it or appreciate it? Or take today's gospel reading. Can you blame poor Thomas for not believing the others? They had been hiding in fear of the Jews, locked away as we're told. Jesus comes to them, and then it's gone when they tell Thomas of his visit. Of course Thomas wanted solid proof. Who would believe something so incredible just because others tell them so, right? Aren't there some parallels to today's gospel with the changes in our climate and Mother Earth herself? There are certainly many of us who see data and analyses prepared by others and are convinced of climate change caused by humans. While some do question, many of us believe that the seas are warming, weather patterns are changing, and storms intensifying as a result of our consumptive behaviors. Lydia Wiley Kellerman spoke to us earlier this month, noting a number of changes that can be readily observed in our global environment and even around our own homes. Be it wildfires, flash flooding, or the loss of birds and insects, these are all signs of change, signs that we ourselves can sense when we look, listen, or feel. At the same time, when it comes to the environment, there are doubting Thomases that will not acknowledge that Mother Earth is changing, or at least will not concede that the changes are the result of human activity. When my wife Nancy and I were building a passive solar home in the mid-90s, even our own family members questioned whether we would freeze in the winter or be too hot in the summer. And they wondered if our photovoltaic panels and wind turbine would produce enough electric power for us to live on. We obviously survived to tell the story. And at one point, we went almost 7 years without purchasing any electricity from the utility. By living as an example, others became convinced of what was possible. Like Jesus, returning the following week to help Thomas believe, we too can help one another in our own journey, particularly understanding the impact of our daily decisions and what they have on Mother Earth. As Jesus noted, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. And after imparting the Holy Spirit, he said, so I send you. Consider whether you've been sent. How do your actions demonstrate your faith and stewardship of Mother Earth? Douglas Tallamy, a professor at the University of Delaware, says in his book, Nature's Best Hope, that we haven't always thought about our individual impacts on the local environment, and consequently those impacts have often been negative. Today, however, we must develop or renew a new mindfulness about how our everyday actions affect the physical and living world around us. I suspect many of us are wondering what else we can do and how to do better when it comes to old Mother Earth. When was the last time you interacted with God's great creation, Mother Earth, in a meaningful way? Is it possible that we haven't noticed the local disappearance of plants and animals? Have we made sure that our children and grandchildren are aware that plants are vital to our life, that they produce our oxygen, clean our water, and store atmospheric carbon? Or what about the animals that pollinate our crops or provide pest control? As Tallamy notes, we've been living off the stored riches of nature for some time now, and we're at a point where unless we make significant changes, there probably isn't enough nature to sustain us in the future. Now, I'll acknowledge that sometimes knowing or believing in climate change broadly and the unequal impacts of the change on different groups and locations leads me to wonder if humans are doomed to continue along this path. This is the climate anxiety that Lydia Wiley Kellerman speaks of. She says it touches nearly everything we do, but perhaps nothing so intimately as our parenting, leaving impossible tasks for those raising children, how do we explain to the next generations why we've left them a mess to clean up? This might sound defeatist, but Lydia does say that now is the moment, a turning point in humanity, where we must choose to fight like hell for climate justice. Or as Jim Antle asks in his book, Climate Church, Climate World, How People of Faith Must Work for Change, what if the first announcement every Mass went something like this? As we do every week, I'd like to ask everyone who contacted their member of Congress or the White House this past week to advocate for new laws that will make our Earth sustainable to please, as you're able, rise and receive our applause. Thank you, and I hope to see still more of you rise next week. I suspect many of you have been calling or emailing your government representatives and even the White House on various topics recently. Have you also been advocating for Mother Earth? Given the current political climate, it isn't just climate injustice that we should be calling and writing about, but injustice in general that we need to fight against. But let me keep my remarks focused on Mother Earth and Earth Day and what we can do by ourselves, because let's face it, we are the only ones that we have control over. Many of us are old enough to recall the beginning of the 3 R's campaign of the 1970s, reduce, reuse, and recycle. Remember? It was about the time President Carter put solar panels on the White House roof. Let's revisit the 3 R's for examples of what we can do as individuals outside of lobbying our representatives. I think that too often we focus on the third R, recycling, sometimes to the detriment of the first two, reducing and reusing. Don't get me wrong, it's great that we recycle, but just imagine if you were able to not only reduce the amount of waste in your trash can each week by recycling, but you took it to the next step, to further cut or eliminate the remaining amount of waste in your trash by both reducing and reusing. As Vicki Robb, a social innovator and author, has said, we no longer live life, we consume it. It is certainly difficult to resist the barrage of marketing messages encouraging us to consume more, both as goods and services, not to mention how easy the online retailers make it by delivering right to your door. But do we gain happiness in consuming? Could a walk in the woods give you as much pleasure as shopping? As we become more mindful of Mother Earth in our daily lives, we may start to find creative alternatives to consumption. It's not to say that we shouldn't buy anything, but that we do so in an intentional manner, purchasing only what is necessary, and even then, considering the source, buying used, or even borrowing if it's only something you need temporarily. For example, you can purchase your food directly from farmers, cutting down on shipping and packaging, just tossing your items into a reusable bag or basket while supporting local farmers and food producers. Maybe even take a periodic trip to Rochester Public Market or one of the many farmers markets held around the county. Perhaps you might adjust your shopping routine and consider buying household items that have less packaging, or frequent places like Abundance Co-op, Marilla's in the South Wedge, Lori's Natural Food in Henrietta, where you can buy food in bulk, as well as cleaning supplies and personal care items with reduced packaging. And when you go, be sure to bring your reusable shopping bags and containers. Maybe add an action to your current daily routines. Consider adopting the practice of turning off a light when you leave the room, or adjusting the thermostat by a degree or two. Perhaps you combine your trips in the car to reduce fuel use. Better yet, dust off the old bike and ride to the store, or maybe the library, where you can borrow a book instead of buying a new one. Better yet, skip the trip to the library and the resources for printing and shipping of the book by borrowing an e-book from the library. If you're already at that level, then consider upgrading lighting and appliances in your home to more energy-efficient versions, or even moving toward an all-electric home. You'll see that these actions not only provide a positive example for others, but they reduce our impact on Mother Earth and may even save you money. Are you a do-it-yourself type person? Or maybe you want to, but don't want to invest in the tools? Did you know that the Southeast Area Coalition, or SEEC, operates a tool library where you can check tools out for a week or two at a time? They're located on University Avenue near Culver, and I can personally attest to the value of the tool shed as a resource for our community, as I am a frequent tool borrower. Speaking of borrowing, did you know you can also borrow children's toys? Check out the toy library on Joseph Avenue. Maybe you've grown comfortable with reducing, reusing, and recycling. If so, consider becoming an advocate who fights against climate injustice on behalf of those who cannot. Climate or environmental injustice is experienced through increased exposure to pollution and the associated health risks, as well as limited access to adequate environmental services and loss of land and resource rights. Sustainability and climate justice go hand in hand. Both are necessary to create an equitable environment and preserve Mother Earth for all. Climate justice means recognizing that those who contribute least to carbon emissions are often paying the highest cost. It also means that holding responsible the countries, corporations, and people driving our climate crisis. There are various organizations that you can support or join, including locally Climate Solutions Accelerator of the Genesee Finger Lakes, and maybe one of your Color Your Community Green action teams. As we change our own behaviors, it will affect not only what we consume, but how we act and how we set examples for others, be they family members, friends, neighbors, or strangers. Remember how the disciples told Thomas that they had seen Jesus? Presumably the translator forgot the all caps and the exclamation point. We have seen the Lord. How could they not be excited, right? I hope we can have the same excitement about Mother Earth, particularly on the other 364 days of the year around Earth Day. In the next week, you'll be hearing about the Spiritus Way, actions that our Mother Earth community is encouraging us to adopt for gatherings and events. In doing so, we will help demonstrate examples of how we can act to reduce our church's impact on Mother Earth. Consider being like the disciples, excitedly sharing the news of Jesus' visit with the unbelieving Thomas. Share the news of how each one of us can take action to continue to work against climate change and work for climate justice. And when you are able, expand your reach. Set an example. Become an advocate. Gather knowledge of climate change and the environmental impacts on marginalized communities. Contact your local, state, and national representatives on a regular basis and let them know you support positive environmental legislation. And as you go through each day, try to remember the seventh generation principle of the Haudenosaunee, that the decisions we make and actions we take today should be sustainable for seven generations in the future. Peace be with you.